Caring Review, print speaking to the blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Glasgow Times podcast, recorded at the Bishop Briggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview, that is @CUENDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@qnreview.com. That is information@CUENDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
From Glasgow Times, Friday, 23rd February, Lifestyle section, Colin Firth spotted filming Lockerbie bombing drama in city centre, by Nicole Mitchell and Gordon Terrace. Colin Firth has been spotted filming for a new TV series based on the Lockerbie bombing in Glasgow city centre. We previously reported filming for the series from Carnival Films and Sky Studios, believed to be called Flight 103, will be taking place in Glasgow. On December 21st, 1988, Pan Am Flight 103, which was travelling from London to New York, exploded over Lockerbie, killing all 259 passengers and crew, and 11 of the town's residents. Former Libyan intelligence officer Abdel Basset Al-Megrahi is so far the only person who has been convicted in relation to the bombing after being found guilty of 270 counts of murder in 2001. The new drama is told from the perspective of Jim and Jane Sfire, who lost their daughter Flora in the atrocity which took place on the eve of her 24th birthday. The five-part series is based on Jim's 2021 book, The Lockerbie Bombing, Father's Search for Justice, with the retired GP being portrayed by Oscar-winning Colin Firth. Our photographer, Gordon Terrace, spotted the actor filming on St Vincent Street earlier today. Pictures show the actor outside the building at 200 St Vincent Street, as well as several members of the film crew. A number of classic cars have also been parked on the street. A series of roads will close in the city centre and East End next week to accommodate for filming of Flight 103, which is expected to air next year. It is understood another series from BBC and Netflix based on the Lockerbie bombing is also in the works. That article was written by Nicole Mitchell and Gordon Terrace. From Glasgow Times, Friday, 23rd February, Lifestyle section, Meet the Disney on Ice couple who'll be performing in Glasgow, by Nicole Mitchell. Disney on Ice is in Glasgow this week, starring one couple who found their fairy tale ending off the ice. Performers Katerina and Graham Hockley, who currently star in the show as Rapunzel and Flynn from Tangled, have been married for almost 11 years after meeting back in 2011. The couple met when Graham from Toronto joined the show a year after Katerina, and they bonded over their love of travel. Graham, who previously represented Greece as a competitive ice dancer, explained, "We got put on the show and we were touring Japan. We started hanging out a little bit and we both had a lot of common interests. We both like sightseeing on foot. We do a lot of walking, so we started doing more long walks together, and that's when we started hanging out ourselves." The magic of travelling around the globe and visiting different countries is something that the couple still enjoy 13 years later. Graham, 33, continued, "One of my favourite aspects is going to different countries and seeing all the different cultures and then hearing the different audiences and how they react to their favourite character." The duo have played several different characters throughout their time with Disney on Ice, but became Rapunzel and Flynn in 2019. Katerina, 35, said, "It's wonderful. I get to skate with my husband every day and we get to take this journey together." Katerina, who grew up in California and lived just 30 minutes from Disneyland, says she grew up watching Disney on Ice. She said, "I was a pretty big Disney fan and I also love figure skating. I love performing, so that's how I got started. It's been really great being able to skate and perform as a Disney character. I love it." The show will see Tinker Bell take the audience through a journey of magical stories and features beloved Disney characters including Anna and Elsa, Moana, Aladdin, and Sleeping Beauty. This will be the second time the couple have performed in front of a Glasgow crowd after visiting back in 2018 on the first stop of that year's tour. Graham said, "The audience was great last time. The last time we played here was the first stop on the tour for that year, so there was a lot of learning new choreography. It'll be nice this time to do it when I'm settled and fully performing." He added, "This is a special Disney on Ice show. It's got a classic ice show feel to it, but it's chock full of Disney magic. Disney on Ice, Dream Big, will be at the Hydro from Thursday, February 22nd until Sunday, February 25th. That article was written by Nicole Mitchell. From Glasgow Times, Friday, 23rd February, Lifestyle section. Famous restaurant boss on 50 years in Glasgow and Chinese New Year. An exclusive by Stuart Patterson. Andy Chung is one of the pioneering restaurateurs who brought authentic Chinese cuisine to Glasgow. In the latest of her Times Talk series, the Glasgow Times spoke to the businessman 50 years after he opened his first restaurant in the city, The Amber, on Byers Road. Andy has seen many changes in the business over the decades and is now at the forefront of growing Glasgow's Chinese New Year celebrations. From his early days chasing down chancers looking for a free meal to people more interested in after-hours drinks, he tells how going for a Chinese has evolved into a family occasion. When he came to Glasgow from Hong Kong and first opened, bringing Cantonese food to the city, he said it was basic stuff on offer. The choices, he said, were curry, chop suey, and chow mein. Andy recalled, "I changed the whole menu and the recipes with traditional dishes and better quality. It helped educate people about the real Chinese food." After Byers Road, he opened another restaurant in Argyle Street, then in West Regent Street. He said, "People started to change their attitudes to Chinese food. We started to get people coming for business meetings over lunch and for special occasions for dinner. People started to book tables." Andy said the tradition of Chinese restaurants then used to be all bamboo calendars and red lanterns. With the Amber restaurants, he started to buck the trend, creating a different atmosphere. He said, "We spend a lot of money on decoration to bring more people in. It was a major change." More recently, the Amber Regent went through a major refurbishment in 2017, creating a smart, sophisticated space a million miles from the 1970s staples. Back then, it was very different, he remembers. Andy said, people used to come after 10 p.m. when the pubs closed. They would come in for a small amount of food, but a lot of drink. One time, I had to chase down the street after two young men after they ran out without paying their bill. People must have thought I looked like Bruce Lee. Business, he said, has changed, and it is not without significant challenges. Andy said, it has all changed. We get more families now coming for a special celebration. We also have people who are staying in hotels in the city centre or who are travelling. Business is also more difficult now since the financial crash and then the pandemic. Since the pandemic, he adds, more people are staying at home or closer to home. He is not immune to the changes in the city centre that have affected so many businesses. Andy said, parking charges keep people away when it costs so much to park for a couple of hours. Also, more empty shops means fewer shoppers, and people working from home means there are not as many people in the city centre. Costs have all gone up. Ingredients, electricity, and cooking oil have gone up massively. The running costs are crazy. So many restaurants are closing. As well as the business interests, Andy Chung has been influential in the Chinese community and is chairman of the Chinese Cultural Welfare Society Scotland. Mindful of poverty in the city, his restaurant has been donating meals to the Glasgow City Mission to distribute for the last 10 years. He has helped make Chinese New Year a public event in Glasgow, and with others has plans to make it bigger to rival those in other UK cities. The Society has worked with the City Council, Glasgow University's Confucius Institute and NG Homes to host the event in George Square. This year is more significant as it is the Year of the Dragon, an important Chinese symbol. Celebrations conclude this weekend with the Lantern Festival, and next year he wants an even bigger event. Andy said, we started the celebrations in Glasgow in 2016. With the growth of the Chinese population, we now have 12,000 students and many Hong Kong British national overseas people, as well as people from mainland China. It is important for the children to see how Chinese New Year is celebrated. Because of the events, they know what Chinese New Year means. He wants Glasgow to be on the map for Chinese New Year. London, Manchester, Birmingham, he notes, all had huge public celebrations. He said, but the Chinese people in Scotland did it in private, at home or in restaurants. So we decided to hold a public celebration. This year, the organisers said they had 2,000 people in George Square. Andy said, we can do it even bigger, but we might need a bigger space. We are planning for next year already. That article was an exclusive by Stuart Patterson. From Glasgow Times, Friday, 23rd February, Lifestyle section, popular Glasgow brewery to give away free birthday bash by Ben Waddle. Popular Glasgow brewery is set to give away a free birthday bash as part of a leap year celebration. West is on the hunt for any Glaswegian who was born on February 29th 1952, so they can give them their first legal pint. It comes as the brewery prepares to celebrate its own 18th birthday next month. Since it opened on March the 10th, 2006, the family-friendly brewery, bar and restaurant based in a former carpet factory on Glasgow Green has become a Glasgow institution. Managing Director Matt Munro said, "It's a big year for us. If West Brewery was a person, it could finally order a pint. We began to think about ways to celebrate, and what better way than to throw a birthday bash for some other people who are celebrating their own birthday. If someone you know is celebrating their big birthday this year on February 29th, tell them to get in touch so they don't miss out on a night to remember. Who knows if we'll be feeling as generous in 4 years' time." To win complimentary beers, burgers and birthday cake, all you have to do is send a picture of yourself with your driving licence or passport showing your date of birth as February 29th, 1952 to info@westbeer.com. That article was written by Ben Waddle. From Glasgow Times, Friday, 23rd February, Lifestyle section, Lewis Capaldi, star of new Glasgow play, as Play Pie Pint turns 20, exclusive by Anne Fotheringham. As her last season at the helm of Glasgow's famous lunchtime theatre series gets underway, Jemima Levick is looking back to where and why it all began. So many people got their first shots at writing or directing or acting here. We wanted to capture that spirit, explains the outgoing artistic director of A Play, A Pie and A Pint, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary in 2024. Founder David McClellan gave me my first chance to commission work back in 2007, and I have always been grateful for that. Also, this year, we received more submissions than we have ever had before from writers we did not know at all. She adds, "So in this 20th anniversary year, it felt right to be able to give more people their first shots." Theatre maker David McClellan, who died in 2014, founded A Play, A Pie and A Pint in 2004. And its core principle? To give emerging writers, actors and directors, as well as established performers, a platform. It remains the same. It's globally renowned for enticing big-name stars to perform in the Basement Theatre in Glasgow's West End. Previous performers have included Alain C. Smith and Robbie Coltrane. In addition, the David McClellan Award is a biannual open writing competition with the winner having their play professionally produced. The spring 2024 season will feature 18 plays, including this week's opener, which runs until Saturday, February 24th. Jack is a darkly comic monologue by Liam Moffat about navigating a life of loss, love and hope with the help of man's best friend. Other highlights include Ellen Ritchie with dark comedy Hot Dog and Emmy Quinn with heartfelt comedy The Funeral Club about a group of friends from a teenage cancer ward who go on a diamond heist. Jemima admits she is particularly looking forward to the intriguing sounding Lewis Capaldi Goes Tropical, a chaotic comedy by Raymond Wilson about a Glaswegian family whose illegal pet, Okapi, is bought by the pop sensation. "I say this every season, but there is truly a play for everyone here," she says, adding with a laugh, Lewis Capaldi is not actually in that play, by the way. It's all very surreal. It is an upbeat season with lots of comedy. I think we had a lot of heavy, hard-hitting dramas last season, so it was fun to explore a different set of ideas. With the year everyone has had, feeling like the world is crumbling in on itself at times, we need some lightness and brightness and fun. Here you can come in and relax and forget real life for a while. Jemima is leaving Oran Mór after 3 years to become artistic director of the Tron Theatre following the departure of Andy Arnold. "I am delighted and excited, and a bit terrified," she says, "of her move to the Tron. It will be sad to leave Oran Mór, of course. Play Pie Pint is incredible. We are so fortunate to have so much talent in Scotland, and the audiences are amazing. They have such spirit of adventure." The thought of choosing a favourite play from the last 3 years is too much, she laughs. "I couldn't just pick one," she says in mock horror. "Scots, the musical, was special. And I loved working with Jonathan Watson on Man's Best Friend. But there have been so many highlights. I'd just love to do it all over again." She adds, smiling, "It's a privilege to have been here." Tickets are now on sale for the spring season of A Play, A Pie and A Pint. Check their website for details. That article was an exclusive by Anne Fotheringham. From Glasgow Times, Friday, 23rd February, Lifestyle section. Two huge bands set to host Glasgow concert next year by Ben Waddle. Two huge bands are set to host a concert in Glasgow together at the start of next year. Bullet for My Valentine and Trivium will join forces and bring their Poisoned Ascendancy tour to the city's OVO Hydro on Tuesday, January 28, 2025. Trivium is a heavy metal band from America. Meanwhile, Bullet for My Valentine is also a heavy metal band, but from Wales. Announcing the show, the OVO Hydro said, "Following much speculation online, Bullet for My Valentine and Trivium have revealed details of a huge joint arena tour. The Poisoned Ascendancy UK Tour 2025 will see both bands celebrating the 20th anniversary of their respective iconic albums, playing them in full. Tickets for the event will go on sale from Friday, March the 1st at 10 a.m. That article was written by Ben Waddle.
Glasgow Times News on Monday, the 26th of February. Call for a new Charles Rennie Mackintosh mural in Glasgow. An exclusive article written by Craig Williams. As Scotland's most celebrated architect and designer of the 20th century, Charles Rennie Mackintosh's work is recognised throughout the world. In his native Glasgow, he left a remarkable and world-class design legacy, with his wonderful architectural style visible in buildings such as Queen's Cross Church, the House for an Art Lover, and the Scotland Street School Museum. In honour and celebration of the man and his work, a bronze statue, unveiled on the 90th anniversary of his death, stands in the Anderston district of the city, while a giant mural adorns the wall above the Clutha Bar, next to the River Clyde. Now, a city heritage group has called for a new Charles Rennie Mackintosh mural to be created in the area of Glasgow he once called home. The architect and designer lived in a tenement on Fir Park Terrace in Denniston, behind tenants Well Park Brewery, from 1875 until 1892, the year he met Margaret MacDonald while they were both students at the Glasgow School of Art. Denniston Style, which showcases the history, social history, heritage and style of Denniston and the East End of Glasgow, has proposed that the gable end of a listed building on Duke Street, around 500 metres from McIntosh's former home, be the location of a new permanent mural celebrating his legacy. The group also suggested that the mural could be based on James Craig Annan's famous portrait of McIntosh as a young man. They said Charles Rennie McIntosh was born in Townhead in 1868 and his family, moving up the social ladder, moved to the leafy suburb of Denniston to Fir Park Terrace in 1875 and lived there until 1892. Given McIntosh's connection to Denniston, it's only fitting that this genius is commemorated where he was brought up. It would also be an amazing addition to the Glasgow Mural Trail to bring people to Denniston. The call comes amid a long-running saga involving the gable end on Duke Street, which has sparked fresh fears that businesses are continuing to exploit a loophole to create huge mural adverts without receiving prior permission from Glasgow City Council. In October 2022, a mural on the gable end of the listed tenement, which was built in the 1850s, was commissioned by shoe retailer Clarks to advertise their Desert Boots as part of their new For the World Ahead brand campaign, before another commercial mural for banking brand The Current Account Switch Service appeared on the same gable end earlier this month. Both murals were painted over within 4 weeks of appearing on the gable end, leading to concerns that businesses were commissioning temporary murals to effectively exploit the 28-day rule for using land or buildings for an alternative use contained within planning regulations for the temporary use of land in the Town and Country Planning Order. The provision is often used by event organisers for events such as local fairs and effectively allows for a site to be used without formal planning permission. Ivan McKee, MSP for Glasgow Proven, previously suggested that a permanent mural be commissioned for the gable end to stop it from being used by commercial enterprises for advertising. He said, "We all want to see high-quality street art brightening up the city, but commercial businesses should not be able to use loopholes to bypass regulations and avoid engagement with the local community. I would support a community-led project to deliver a permanent mural on this highly visible site on Duke Street." Councillor Alan Casey, who represents the Denniston ward, echoed the MSP's call, adding, "While it's nice to see this gable end brighten up an important gateway into Denniston, it is disappointing that yet again another commercial organisation is exploiting a loophole to avoid planning and advertising consent and not involving the local community. Glasgow has a vibrant and diverse range of murals across the city, which help create splashes of colour, which brighten up our lanes and streets. To avoid this commercial exploitation happening in this location again, it's my hope that there could be a proper community-led project to investigate if there can be a longer-term community mural, which could bring some much-needed public street art into Denniston and could have the potential to link up with Glasgow's successful City Centre Mural Trail." An exclusive article written by Craig Williams. Glasgow Times News on Monday, the 26th of February. Glasgow parking charges to rise by up to 25%. An article written by Stuart Patterson. Parking charges across Glasgow are to rise by up to 25% in April. In the Council's budget, it was agreed that charges will rise and controlled parking zones across the city will be in place until 10 p.m. The Council said the increase is to raise money towards a £107 million budget shortfall and encourage people to use more sustainable transport. In the city centre zones, parking charges will increase from £1.40 for 15 minutes to £1.60 for 15 minutes, a rise of 14%. The charges will go up again in 2025 to £1.80 for 15 minutes and again the following year to £2 for 15 minutes. For the zones outside the city centre, charges will go up from 80 pence for 15 minutes to £1 for 15 minutes in April, a 25% rise. They will rise again in 2025 to £1.20 and again in 2026 to £1.40 for 15 minutes. A spokesperson for Glasgow City Council said changes to parking rates have been agreed as part of a budget that required to find £107 million worth of savings from council services over the next 3 years. The budget has sought to target poverty and invest in support for communities with council tax frozen for the next year. The changes to parking rates are consistent with Glasgow's transport strategy, which seeks to encourage a shift to more sustainable forms of transport. This year's budget will also invest almost £9.6 million in street lighting, roads and footpaths, while the council continues to work with transport operators and national and regional transport agencies to secure improvements to public transport. One city centre business has contacted the Glasgow Times to register their anger at the increase in parking charges. Alessandro Varese of Blue Lagoon Fish and Chip Restaurants said it will deter customers and hit trade. He said, "We feel this is a dreadful decision that will kill businesses." Ironically, the announcement of this came on the same day it was confirmed that we are in recession and that the nighttime economy in Glasgow was down versus last year. Following the scrapping of free parking on a Sunday, this is the final deterrent for anyone wanting to travel to Glasgow by car. Public transport is too unpredictable to be relied on. Our view is the extra revenue the council will gain will be offset by the businesses they will kill. Hospitality is already on its knees, and this will push businesses into closure due to the drop in footfall it will undoubtedly cause. The 22 controlled zones across Glasgow will be standardised to operate from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. 5 already operate those hours. There is no date yet for when the change in hours will take place. The council spokesperson added, "The long-standing approach with parking controls has been to prioritise parking for residents in the city's 22 parking zones. By standardising parking hours across all zones, we are aiming to provide the maximum benefit for permit holders 7 days a week. We also hope to encourage a shift to more sustainable forms of transport." An article written by Stuart Patterson. Glasgow Times News on Monday, the 26th of February. Fury after Nazi memorabilia found for sale at fair. An exclusive front page article written by Amanda Keenan. Operators of an antiques fair have been slammed after vile Nazi military paraphernalia was openly displayed by a vendor. Shocked locals say they were horrified to see items including an Iron Cross, swastika armbands and decorative eagles from soldiers' uniforms for sale at the busy JAC Fairs event at Glasgow Club Bella Houston. Jewish community leaders have today criticised organisers for allowing the memorabilia to be sold, warning that the Third Reich insignia could have caused extreme distress to families of Holocaust survivors. The Glasgow Times received several complaints from members of the public who attended the event on February the 18th. One source, a 32-year-old from the south side of the city, said, "I am from a minority background myself, so I know what it's like to face persecution. I was absolutely horrified by what I saw on this stall. Everyone knows what the Nazi Party and their symbols stand for and represent, so for those to be openly shown at an event where children were present was completely wrong. This person should never have been given permission to act as a vendor, and it's up to organisers to make sure what is for sale at their events are suitable and don't cause offence." Another source who was collecting her daughter from a gym group added, "The stall was in quite a prominent position and one of the first I spotted as I entered the fair. I just could not believe what I was seeing, hateful items being brazenly displayed for anyone to purchase. I find it appalling that anyone would think it appropriate. As soon as I saw it, I walked out in disgust. It's totally unacceptable and it upset quite a few people on the day." The sale of Nazi memorabilia is strictly prohibited in parts of Europe, although it's not a criminal offence to sell or own it in the UK. Thomas Weber, a university historian and leading expert on Hitler's brutal regime, says the items were likely to have been brought back to British shores by soldiers who fought in the Second World War. He explained, I would imagine that these are items that British servicemen took from Germany in 1945 and were the kind of physical object that symbolises that the war was won, that National Socialism had been defeated, and that people had risked their lives to make that happen. This is, of course, speculation, and I can't exclude the possibility that the pieces on display were from the collection of a Nazi sympathiser. The tricky question becomes, what is the most ethical thing to do with them as the generation of the servicemen who defeated Hitler pass away? Is it ethical to sell them, or should they be given to a museum or an archive? I believe these questions are not easy to answer, as they might appear at first sight, even though I appreciate the horror felt by some of the people who visited the fair and what they witnessed. The Glasgow Times asked Mr. Weber to examine the items that were on display, and he discovered some interesting detail about their origins. He added, the DAF item is from the Deutsche Arbeitsfront, and the Luftschutz item is probably the armband of a warden in an air shelter. Below it lies another item from the German Labour Front. The Dutch Flemish guide is kind of self-explanatory, but might indicate that I'm right with my speculation that the items come from a British serviceman who saw action in the Second World War and then took items from Nazi Germany back home. The Black Cross is an iron cross, and the eagles are probably all from Nazi uniforms. From an academic point of view, I personally would be interested to see the framed piece of paper. This appears to be the letterhead of the regional office of the national headquarters of a Nazi organisation, possibly from Hanover or Hamburg. Mr. Weber says items of this nature continue to pose a difficult ethical and moral dilemma. He added, the challenge is to make sure that people still feel comfortable to come forward with materials they find in the possessions of their parents or grandparents once they pass away. There's been a lot of unique historical material that sheds new light on World War II, the Holocaust and the Third Reich that has come to light in recent years, as we live at a time in which people who still lived as adults through the Second World War have sadly passed away. Their descendants now face the choice what to do with that material, and that's often difficult when it is of this nature. A spokesperson for the Scottish Council of Jewish Communities and the Glasgow Jewish Representative Council said that while deeply offensive, destroying material such as that on sale at the fair also risked diminishing the horrific nature and accurate historical record of the Nazi atrocities. They added, although removing the physical historical record of Nazi genocide from public consciousness risks playing into the hands of those who would deny history, sadly, collectors and people who buy such items often have very suspect motives. The display itself can also cause extreme offence and distress to the victims of that persecution. So at a time when anti-Semitism, Islamophobia and other racist rhetoric are at an all-time high following the Hamas attacks on the 7th of October, we would urge the organisers to think again. A spokesperson for Glasgow Life, which operates the venue where the fair was held, said, we had not been told of the proposed sale of Nazi memorabilia at the fair. We've already made the event operator aware of the complaints we've received and asked them to ensure that this doesn't happen again. A spokesperson for JAC Fairs asked people attending any of its events to make them aware of any offensive items on display. They added, militaria from all over the world is sold at antique fairs and antique centres throughout the UK. Although JAC Fairs makes every effort to ensure stallholders do not sell items that may cause offence, we strongly advise if an item does cause offence, make it known to us on the day so that we can take appropriate action where required. In no way do we endorse the Nazi regime. An exclusive front page article written by Amanda Keenan. Glasgow Times News on Monday, the 26th of February. New recycling bin system introduced for homes in Glasgow. An article written by Stuart Patterson. A new recycling system is to be rolled out in parts of Glasgow starting next month. Homes in Knightswood that have individual bins will be the first to get a new grey bin to recycle plastics, metals, cartons and film. It means additional materials like yoghurt pots and carrier bags can now be recycled. It will leave the blue bin for only paper, cards and cardboard. The scheme will be put in place after the council received £21 million from the Scottish Government to improve recycling. It will start in Knightswood and then be rolled out across other areas in the north of the city and then in the south side later in the year. By March 2025, it's expected all curbside properties with their own bins will have the new system in place. Information is being sent out to householders in Knightswood today, and others will be notified before they get the new bin delivered. New collection dates and calendars will also be sent out. Rory Kelly, City Convener for Neighbourhood Services, said introducing a new bin for metal and plastic containers for curbside collection is a big part of our plans to improve recycling in Glasgow. The new bin will make it easier and more convenient for households to recycle a much wider range of materials at home and improve the quality of the materials that we collect. We have seen with our pilot of on-street bin hubs for flats that the twin bin approach to recycling dry goods can increase how much material ends up being recycled. With work also underway on a new high-tech materials recycling facility at Easter Queensley, we are determined to drive up recycling rates in Glasgow. Recycling more is obviously good for the environment, but it's also good for the taxpayer as it cuts the cost of disposing of the rubbish we generate. The new service is expected to reduce CO2 emissions by 6,100 tonnes. After Knightswood, the grey bin will be used in Blair Dardy, Drumchapel, Temple, Annisland, Jordan Hill, White Inch, Yoker, Scotstoun, Kelvin Dale, Kelvin Side, North Maryhill, Somerston, Lamb Hill, Milton, Rockhill and Postle Park. Ian Gulland, Zero Waste Scotland Chief Executive, said, "We're excited that Glasgow is enhancing its recycling services and improving the quality of materials collected, which is a significant step towards a more sustainable future for the city." An article written by Stuart Patterson. Glasgow Times, on Monday, the 26th of February. Opinion: democratic mandate of local councils should be respected. A column written by Mike Daly. Why does the Scottish Government refuse to respect the democratic mandate of local councils? The stooshy over the council tax freeze is a perfect illustration of the dysfunctional and discourteous relationship between Holyrood and local town halls. Scotland's 32 councils were offered £144 million in return for a council tax freeze in 2024-2025, which equated to a 5% council tax increase. Local government funding shrank by 20% in the period 2013-2014 to 2021-2022, which is why councils argue they still need a council tax rise to protect local services. Along comes Finance Minister Seán Robison, MSP, last week with an offer of an extra £67.2 million, equating to another 2.3% council tax increase, but only if local government agrees to the freeze. That means set your rates and you'll face financial sanctions. It's the politics of the Godfather. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Let's remember how we got into this sorry mess. Last June, the First Minister signed the Verity House Agreement with COSLA's president, the body that represents Scotland's councils. The agreement was to provide local government with greater control over their budgets with mutual trust and respect between local and national government. To paraphrase Robert Burns' letter to a critic in 1791, the Verity House Agreement is now like a pickle herring in the puppet show of nonsense. It's meaningless twaddle if councils can't set their own rates without being financially bullied. The council tax freeze as a policy appeared out of the blue and without consultation during the First Minister's party conference speech last October. Despite the Finance Minister's threat of sanctions, Argyll and Bute Council announced last week that it would raise its council tax by 10% to meet a £40 million deficit in its budget. Other councils may follow because the equivalent of a 7% rise from the Scottish Government funding isn't enough. Why should local communities be told they'll be losing their local library, swimming pool, public golf course, adult care centre or community centre? Why is Glasgow having to look at cutting 172 teaching posts to balance its budget? The irony of Seán Robison's extra £67.2 million is that this is mostly a Barnett consequential from the UK government's decision to provide £600 million top-up funding to English councils. Imagine the outrage if the UK government offered its funding with a kind of strings and sanctions attached that Seán Robison seeks to impose on Scottish councils. We wouldn't be in this ridiculous position if the European Charter of Local Self-Government in Corporation Scotland Bill had been enacted in 2021. Unfortunate drafting of the bill meant it was found by the UK Supreme Court to be out with the competence of the Scottish Parliament. However, it would be relatively easy to amend sections of the bill to cure that problem. The bill is to be reintroduced by Mark Ruskell, MSP. If the bill was in force, the Scottish Government would have to respect the democratic mandate of local councils and their right to determine rates of local tax in order to carry out their statutory tasks. If the Scottish Government failed to do that, legal remedies could be sought by councils before the Court of Session. Let's hope an amended European Charter Bill is passed so that we can cure our democratic deficit when it comes to local government in Scotland. A column written by Mike Daly. Glasgow Times News on Monday, the 26th of February. Huge sporting star teams up with Glasgow school children for a sports event. An exclusive article written by Morgan Carmichael. Glasgow pupils enjoyed a special athletics day last week ahead of the World Indoor Athletic Championships. The Kids Athletics Day, which was created by World Athletics and took place at Hag Hill Primary School in the east end of the city, saw pupils participate in a series of adapted athletics, including the standing long jump, speed bounds, seated ball throw and group relay challenges. The children were joined by track and field Olympian Ailey Doyle, who has accumulated a total of 17 medals from Olympic, World, European and Commonwealth level championships. As an official ambassador of the Indoor Athletics Championships, which will be hosted in the city next month, Ailey said, "Athletics has such a varied range of running, jumping and throwing events, as well as being the core skills of so many other sports, it really does offer something for everyone. It's great seeing all these youngsters getting the opportunity to have a go, and more importantly, being connected with people and places where they can continue to develop their interest in the sport. Athletics is about having fun, and it's been great to see all the smiley faces here today, cheered on by the event mascot Scotty, who was having his own warm-up for the championships. Bringing together 190 children between the ages of 8 and 10, six local schools, Hag Hill Primary School, Alexandra Parade Primary School, Golf Hill Primary School, Cantyne Primary School, Bonmullach Primary School and St Denis Primary School, will be involved in the programme, with the aim of creating new pathways into the sport through collaboration with local community-driven initiatives." Bailey Annette Christie, Glasgow City Council Convener for Culture, Sport and International Relations and Chairperson of Glasgow Life said, "When events such as the World Athletics Indoor Championships come to Glasgow, it's not just about the world stars, but about using the event as a catalyst to involve local youngsters and give them an opportunity to benefit from such a huge occasion. With the championships taking place in Glasgow's East End, we're keen to ensure as many local youngsters as possible get an introduction to the sport and are signposted to longer-term opportunities to stay involved. With three fantastic Scottish athletes now confirmed as competing at the championships, I hope that this programme can help to inspire the next generation of Scots, ensuring we have new heroes to cheer on in the future. Linking this programme with already well-established community sports initiatives means we can make a real impact in Glasgow, and I can't wait to see the legacy it creates in the years to come." The World Athletic Indoor Championships will take place at the Emirates Arena in Parkhead and will run between March the 1st and March the 3rd. Over 650 competitors from more than 130 countries are expected to take part, competing in 26 events. Laura Muir, Scottish middle and long distance runner, Gemma Reekie, Scottish middle distance runner, and Josh Kerr, Scottish middle distance runner, are just some of the names who will compete at the arena. An exclusive article written by Morgan Carmichael.
From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, "And a worker in kind gesture." This article is unattributed. An ASDA worker went above and beyond recently to help a panicked elderly couple. Moira Lund, petrol station attendant at ASDA Coldbridge, was about to start her shift when she noticed a panicked customer at one of the pumps who had locked her keys and purse inside of her car. Moira said, "I needed petrol before my shift, so I just went in early and joined up the line to fill up my car. The customer in front of me had already put fuel in her car and I could see she looked to be in a bit of a state, panicking. I assumed she'd maybe forgot her purse and was worried she wouldn't be able to pay. I went over to them and asked the lady if she was all right. She explained that she'd managed to lock her keys inside the car. She couldn't get in and her purse was locked inside the car too. Bless her, she must have been in her 70s and I just thought if that was my mum, I'd want someone to help her." Moira decided to help out the customer and her husband and give them a lift home to get their spare key. She explained, "I asked her if they had any spare keys at home, and luckily they did. The customer thankfully had a set of house keys in her pocket too. It turned out that the couple only lived around the corner, so I offered to drive them home to pick up the spare key." With the panic over, the couple were so grateful for Moira's act of kindness. She said, "They were a lovely wee couple, and I was glad to be able to help them. It was a short drive, but it would have been a fair walk for the two of them, and I just didn't even think twice about helping them. We were all able to have a wee laugh about it and about the situation in the end." And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, "Employees get pay rise." This article is unattributed. Staff at a famous Glasgow club are set to get a bumper pay rise. Workers at the Stand Comedy Club will benefit from a new one-year pay deal, which will see the lowest paid get pay rises of 13.6%. Some workers will receive pay increases of 19.3% due to their pay bands being regraded. It covers more than 100 members of staff from the iconic venue on Woodlands Road, as well as the clubs in Edinburgh and Newcastle. Unite the Union says it negotiated the deal without the need for industrial action. General Secretary Sharon Graham said, "This pay deal was achieved because the workers at the Stand understood the benefits of joining Unite and getting organised. Unite is a union for hospitality workers and we are completely committed to winning better jobs, pay and conditions for our members." It comes after the union signed a voluntary renegotiation agreement with the Stand in 2019, meaning all workers, regardless of age, are paid at least a living wage as set by the Living Wage Foundation. Staff are also guaranteed paid rest breaks, minimum hours contracts, no zero-hour contracts, full payment for trial shifts, paid transport home for those finishing shifts after 12 a.m, consultation on any rota changes, and 100% of tips. The Stand was contacted for comment, and that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, "Furniture and children's toys dumped behind flats," report by Ava White. Huge piles of rubbish dumped behind a flat block in Drumchapel have been branded as shocking but not surprising. The litter, which includes household waste, furniture and children's toys, has been fly-tipped on the land at the back of 39 Linkwood Crescent. Images show rubbish strewn across the grass and tangled in the trees. Local councillor Paul Carey told the Glasgow Times he is shocked at the sheer volume that has been dumped, but says it doesn't come as a surprise. Councillor Carey said, "I'm absolutely shocked at the amount of rubbish that has been dumped at this location. It is quite clear it has been blown all over the place. I have been in contact with Wheatley Housing Glasgow, which owns 39 Linkwood Crescent, and Glasgow City Council to get this cleaned as soon as possible. However, I must stress that this is not a complete surprise. Ever since the SNP/Green administration removed the bins from Paul's throughout the city, and introduces charging for bulk uplift along with missing bin collections over the Christmas period. This has contributed to illegal dumping. A Glasgow City Council spokesperson confirmed the local authority is aware of the issue and is dealing with it. They went on to add, despite most people taking care of the environment, research has indicated that litter is dropped every 3 seconds in the city. The statement reads, "We are aware of this situation and we will respond appropriately. There is never an excuse for littering or fly tipping. Everyone has a basic responsibility to dispose of their waste in the proper manner at all times. The vast majority of people take care of their environment, but research indicated that litter is dropped every 3 seconds in Glasgow. The minority of people who drop litter or fly tip waste should not be in doubt over the upset caused by their antisocial behaviour." And that report was by Ava White. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, "Hospital to feature in new Channel 5 medical series." This report is unattributed. Channel 5 is launching a new television series that will chronicle the life-saving work of the Golden Jubilee in Clydebank, one of the UK's busiest hospitals. The Heart Hospital will document the lives of both staff and patients, focusing on heart disease as it continues to be one of the UK's biggest killers, killing one person every 3 minutes. Kit Morey, commissioning editor for Channel 5, said, "The Heart Hospital is a series about love. Our hearts embody every range of emotion, joy, hope, excitement and, at times, when they break, fear and vulnerability. But most of all, this incredible organ represents love, and inside the NHS Golden Jubilee we capture that emotion in bucket loads. I'm so looking forward to bringing this impactful new series to Channel 5's viewers." The Heart Hospital meets the specialist staff, who provide a lifeline to patients and their loved ones in dire times. Sandy Scott, Director of Strategic Communications for NHS Golden Jubilee, said, "It is important for patients and the public to see the quality care, compassion and dedication the team provides." She said, "We are delighted to be involved in making the Heart Hospital. As an NHS organisation, our team makes a difference every day to the lives of patients and families across Scotland, and we thank everyone involved for allowing these important stories to be told." And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, "Jury in Emma murder trial deliberate for second day." This article is unattributed. The jury in the trial of a man accused of murdering Emma Caldwell almost 19 years ago has retired for a second day to consider its verdict. Ian Packer, 51, is on trial accused of murdering Miss Caldwell, 27, who vanished in Glasgow on April the 4th, 2005, and whose body was found in Limefield Woods, near Robertton, South Lanarkshire, the following month. At the High Court in Glasgow, he faces a total of 36 charges involving offences against 25 women, all of which he denies. During the trial, jurors have heard evidence from witnesses whom Parker is alleged to have raped, assaulted, sexually assaulted and indecently assaulted, as well as police officers involved in the investigation and forensic experts. Packer also gave evidence in his own defence. Judge Lord Beckett has instructed jurors they should find Packer guilty of a charge of indecently assaulting Miss Caldwell after he admitted the offence while giving evidence. He also directed the jury to convict Packer of a charge accusing him of abducting a woman, preventing her from leaving a house and detaining her against her will. Following several hours of legal direction, Lord Beckett sent the jury out to consider its verdict on Friday morning. After breaking for the weekend, it retired for a second day yesterday to continue its deliberations. And that report was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, "Man pretended to be taxi driver to rape woman. Report by Connor Gordon." A bogus taxi driver who abducted and raped a woman in a barbershop was jailed yesterday for 6 years. Barswan Nashwani, 38, preyed on the victim at KS Turkish Barbers in Glasgow's Denison on August 7, 2022. Nashwani pretended to be a taxi driver to pick up the woman and her friend after a city centre night out. He went on to take the woman into the barber shop where he worked and closed the shutters. Nashwani then switched off the CCTV to the premises. Court papers stated Nashwani touched her on the body, then kissed her on the mouth, neck and breast. Nashwani lifted her onto a worktop and pulled down her lower clothing before he went on to rape her. Nashwani was found guilty at the High Court in Glasgow to abduction and rape. Judge Loss Colbeck said, "You did not know your victim. She believed you were a taxi driver. You dropped her friend off in Govan, then returned to your barbershop in the East End. Once your victim entered the shop, you closed the electric shutters which prevented her from leaving, and you raped her. I have regard to the psychological harm suffered, which is harrowingly demonstrated in her victim impact statement. You targeted someone who was vulnerable at the time of the offence due to her consumption of alcohol. You admitted turning off the CCTV in the barbershop, which concealed evidence. No responsibility has been accepted for the offence, and you blame the victim, accusing her of lying about what happened. Having considered the circumstances of this case, I am satisfied there is no other method of dealing with you other than a lengthy custodial sentence." Nashwani was also put in the Sex Offenders Register for an indefinite period. Sarah Livingston, defending, earlier told the sentencing that Nashwani continued to profess his innocence. The advocate also said, "He has had a fairly tragic life given his country of origin and suffering caused to the Kurdish people. His mother, father and five siblings were murdered in a terrorist attack. He himself was injured in a separate attack. Despite this, he managed with help to come to Britain and has worked almost consistently, culminating in being able to secure a loan to purchase the barbershop. It was revealed that the married dad of two, Nashwani, has previous convictions for road traffic matters." Visibly emotional, Nashwani shook his head before being led to the cells. And that article was written by Conor Gordon and read by me, Ian. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, pair of pals sweep the floor with speedy shopping. Report by Kirsty Feerick. Two pals got four massive bags of shopping for free in Cathkin. Kelly Marie Innes, 26, and Julianne Rayburn, 31, took part in a supermarket sweep style challenge at Cathkin convenience store on Sky Road. They each had 60 seconds to run around the shop and fill their baskets high, with the total being paid in full by Snappy Shopper on Thursday, February the 22nd. Alcohol and vapes were excluded from the deal. The Cathkin store is one of many across Scotland to appear on the delivery app service, which allows people to order groceries to be delivered to their homes. Kelly Marie and Julianne both had three figure totals by the time they made it to the till, which broke the record for the challenge in Scotland. Julianne focused on filling up on cat food, laundry detergent and washing up, which brought her total to £109.17. Meanwhile, Kelly Marie targeted the sweets and treats, which left her with a total of £111.63. Julianne said, "It was nerve-wracking but good fun. I work for Snappy, I'm a driver and enjoy it. During the challenge, I just forgot where everything is, even though I'm in here all the time. It was a good bit of fun though, we got loads in the baskets. I can't wait to go through it. I definitely recommend people download the app and try themselves, it is a good bit of fun." Kelly Marie said, "My friend told me to download the app and I'm glad I did. I don't know what I have got, but lots of sweets, but it was a big blur. I got the most expensive basket Snappy Shopper has paid for in Scotland for the competition." The home delivery service makes it super easy to get your groceries delivered to your door in as little as 30 minutes, all while supporting your local convenience store. That includes a full range of products including milk, eggs, bread and other daily essentials. It's all just a few taps away and ready to be delivered to your home in a snap. The app works with an independent and franchise stores across the country, including Nissa, Spar Premier, One Stop and more. Download the app on the App Store or Google Play. New Snappy Shopper app customers will be able to get £10 off an £11 shop. Use the code 10Snappy, that's the number 10, Snappy in capital letters, S-N-A-P-P-Y, and visit tinyurl.com/47HV6DTX, that's tinyurl.com/47HV6DTX, letters all lowercase. And that article is by Kirsty Feerick. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, shocking fire attack. This article is unattributed. A car has been deliberately targeted as a shocking fire attack. The black Vauxhall Astra was set alight at some point between 2:30pm on Thursday, February 22nd, and 4pm on Friday, February the 23rd. It was parked on Kirk Street in the Coatbridge area at the time. No one is reported to have been injured in the attack, but cops are investigating the incident, which they believe to be intentional. They are calling on anyone who may have footage of the incident to get in touch. Detective Constable David Williamson said, "Thankfully, no one was injured as a result of this incident. I'm appealing for anyone who witnessed the fire, or who has any information which may assist us, and who hasn't already spoken to officers to get in touch. Anyone with any information is asked to contact 101, quoting reference 2438 of February 23rd. And the article is unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, survey launched to get public views on bus travel. This article is unattributed. The Glasgow Bus Alliance, GBA, has launched a major travel survey to gather insights about the future of bus travel in Greater Glasgow. The Alliance comprises of key bus operators in Glasgow, including First Bus, Stagecoach, West Coast Motors and McGill's, who want to hear from both bus users and those who don't currently use the bus service. The survey, prepared independently by the Moffat Centre for Travel and Tourism at Glasgow Caledonian University, is seeking for feedback on bus services, safety of travel, infrastructure, timetables and technology. Fiona Doherty, chairperson of GBA, said, "The partners of the Glasgow Bus Alliance are all investing in the bus network, and as a group we have outlined where we want the bus to go, but we want to hear from the people of Greater Glasgow whether they use the bus or not. All bus operators want an excellent decarbonised bus network that delivers a simple-to-use, fast, smart, integrated bus network which encourages more people to use the bus within and from the City of Glasgow." GBA said the findings will shape the future of bus operations in the Greater Glasgow area. Last year, the Alliance introduced a digital version of the Glasgow Tripper ticket on their apps. This is a single ticket providing unlimited travel on hundreds of routes across the city, doing away with the need to buy multiple tickets from different operators. Councillor Angus Miller, Glasgow City Council Convener for Transport, said, "By striving to create the conditions that encourage people onto buses such as faster, seamless and better connected journeys, we can make switching away from using the car an increasingly attractive option for everyday journeys." The survey, which runs until the end of March, invites everyone to participate, with prizes up for grabs including Amazon vouchers. To join the survey, go to 56insight.questionpro.com/Glasgow Travel Survey. And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 27th of February, from the news section, well-known adventurer jailed over sex attack, by Conor Gordon. A former honorary consul from Mongolia in Scotland, who sexually assaulted a woman, was jailed yesterday for 18 months. David Scott preyed on his victim at a flat in Glasgow's Kelvindale on June 12, 2021. The woman initially pretended to be asleep as the married 50-year-old kissed and groped her before trying to shove the predator away. Scott, a well-known adventurer who raised thousands for those in need in the East Asian country, including setting up orphanages, was given the ambassadorial role as an honorary consul for Mongolia in Scotland in 2011. The symbolic role meant Scott was able to provide any Mongolians who travelled here with advice and also helped establish trade links between the two countries. He was also given the privilege of kicking off the 2014 Mongolian Premier League season as a guest of honour. But Shane Scott was found guilty at Glasgow Sheriff Court sexually assaulting the woman. Sheriff Gerard Bonner said, "You are a mature man who had influence and standing and were educated. I take account the positions which you have held. You continue to deny the offence and blame the victim and have shown no remorse. This is a very serious matter and there is an impact on the victim. This has affected her health, well-being and her work in a very significant way. I have considered all that has been said in the reports, references which are in depth, which highlight positives in your life. However, the custodial threshold is clearly met. In a case of this nature, there is a requirement for a strong punishment and deterrent. Despite the submissions, I do not think there is an appropriate sentence other than custody." Scott, of Newton Mearns, East Renfrewshire, was also put on the sex offenders register for 10 years. Scott showed no emotion as he was led to the cells. The charge states that Scott repeatedly kissed the victim in the mouth, seized her by the neck and pulled her towards him. Scott also repeatedly groped the woman and undid her clothing, leaving her exposed at one stage. He then bit her before he touched her inappropriately and tried to perform the sex act. Scott had earlier hosted a charity event that the victim also happened to be at. In her closing speech, Fiscal Jessica McGowan told jurors that the later attack left the victim broken. Scott had told his lawyer Sarah Livingston, "Given my position as a married man, I had some regrets that I kissed her, but beyond that I did not think of much else." And that report was by Connor Gordon.
From Glasgow Times, Wednesday, 28th February, Lifestyle section, "Johnny McKnight celebrates Scottish theatre magic" by Sandhya Suresh. Stage star Johnny McKnight celebrated the magic of Scottish theatre, assuming the character of one of his favourite pantomime dames. Delivering the Cameron Lecture at a packed University of Glasgow's Bute Hall, the performer, director and educator highlighted Scotland's theatre traditions. The lecture, delivered in partnership between the University of Glasgow and the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, honours Dr. Alistair Cameron, a champion of the Scottish theatre. Mr. McKnight, a Royal Conservatoire of Scotland alumnus, delivered the 2024 lecture, "The Panto Dame, She's Behind You," in full Panto Dame attire, embodying his loved panto character, Dorothy Bellona Gale. He said, "It is a great honour to help remember the contribution of Scottish theatre personality Alistair Cameron, and to also celebrate Scotland's much-loved pantomime genre. I feel very honoured to give the Cameron Lecture 2024 and hope for one day only to bring a bit of the magic and character of the panto to the Bute Hall and the University of Glasgow." Iconic pantomime costumes from the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland added a touch of glamour. The collection included a dress worn by legendary Scottish entertainer Jimmy Logan, OBE, as Lizzie Trotter and Jack and the Beanstalk. A selection of panto costumes was worn by five costume students from the BA Production Arts and Design degree programme at RCS. Also exhibited was a silver dress sported by one of Scotland's finest panto dames, Stanley Baxter, back in the 1986 production of Aladdin at the King's Theatre, Glasgow. Dr. Cameron was a senior lecturer at the University of Glasgow's Department of Theatre Studies.
His untimely death inspired the creation of the Cameron Lecture Series to highlight his love of Scottish theatre and its practitioners. John Tiffany, whose credits include Harry Potter and The Cursed Child in London's West End, said, "Alistair was a hugely inspiring and inspirational teacher who was wonderfully kind. I am so thrilled that the exceptionally talented Johnny McKnight has agreed to give this year's Cameron Lecture. I am delighted that Alistair's remarkable legacy is now being shared with a wider audience through these lectures and held at the University of Glasgow, which he loved dearly." The Cameron Lecture Series was kick-started in 2019 by Hollywood, Broadway and TV star and fellow Royal Conservatoire of Scotland alumnus Alan Cumming. That article was written by Sandhya Suresh. From Glasgow Times, Wednesday, 28th February, Lifestyle section. Justin Curry of Delamitri diagnosed with Parkinson's, by Gabriel Mackay. Justin Curry, the singer of Scots band Delamitri, has revealed he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. The band reformed in 2014 and will support Simple Minds on their European tour before headlining Heb Celt Festival on the Isle of Lewis. Ahead of that tour, singer-songwriter Curry shared that he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, a degenerative condition which affects the brain, after having trouble holding his guitar plectrum. The singer told the BBC, "When you are doing something you know really well, like riding a bike or something, and you suddenly can't do it properly anymore, you think you're going mad. I was spending the whole time on tour when I was still playing the guitar on this song, just thinking about where the plectrum was between my fingers. And when you start thinking about things like that, then all the other stuff just starts falling apart." Delamitri are best known for their songs Nothing Ever Happens and Roll to Me, as well as Don't Come Home Too Soon, which was used as the official Scotland team song for the 1998 World Cup. They have sold over 6 million albums worldwide, with their last album, Fatal Mistakes, reaching number 5 on the albums chart. That article was written by Gabriel Mackay. From Glasgow Times, Wednesday, 28th of February, Lifestyle section. Queen tribute act drummer says being in band still blows his mind. An exclusive by Nicole Mitchell. Queen fans are in for a treat as their official tribute band comes to Glasgow this week. Queen Extravaganza will be at the SEC Armadillo on Friday as part of their jam-packed 2024 tour. The band has been touring for more than a decade and is made up of a rolling cast of gifted musicians who have been handpicked by Roger Taylor and Brian May. Drummer George Farrar will return after first touring with the band last year. The tour was a long time coming for George, whose original tour with the band was cancelled as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. "I went to university in Manchester, and the bass player that plays with Queen and Adam Lambert came to do a masterclass at the Union," George explains. "He watched my band play, and then 3 years later, he called me up and said, 'I've got a gig you might be interested in. They need a drummer that can sing as well.' He continued, 'I didn't hear anything for about 3 months, and then suddenly got asked to do an audition, then joined the band. I had to learn everything, and then COVID happened, so it all got cancelled. This year," he says, "he is feeling a lot more at ease as the band set out on tour. After growing up listening to Queen with his family, George says, "It's amazing to now be part of the band performing their music for fans." He said, "The two bands I grew up with were Queen and Foo Fighters. Queen are my biggest influence, and then to be in the band that's put together by Roger and Brian is really cool. It still blows my mind a bit because I spent my whole childhood watching Queen. It's really awesome." He continued, "My first memory of their music is when I went on holiday and there was this awful street performer trying to play Bohemian Rhapsody on the steel pan. It was absolutely dreadful, but I really liked the melody of the song. I asked my mum what song it was, and she put it on repeat, and then I gradually started listening to them. Then for about 5 years straight, every Saturday with my grandma, I'd sit and watch Queen live at Wembley. Renowned for touring all over Europe, the USA, Canada, Australia, Hong Kong, and Brazil, fans have described the experience of seeing Queen Extravaganza live as the closest they can possibly get to the original." George says he believes Queen have very supportive and really nice fans. He said, "It always surprises me how many people travel so far. When we played in Ireland, there was a woman from Japan that came over. You have the older generation of fans, and then you have kids coming, and they're all just really nice people. I remember in Glasgow, they were quite a rowdy crowd in a good way. The 90-minute show features more than 20 Queen classics, such as Bohemian Rhapsody, Another One Bites the Dust, and We Will Rock You. While George's favourite song to listen to is Love of My Life, there's a different track that stands out to him as a favourite to play live. All their songs are so diverse," he says. "My favourite one to play live would probably be A Kind of Magic. It's a really poppy song I don't associate with Queen. Queen Extravaganza will be at the SEC Armadillo on Friday, March the 1st. That article was an exclusive by Nicole Mitchell.
That concludes this week's edition of the Glasgow Times podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at QueenReview and to tell your friends about our service.